Of being here. It's always a wonderful thing when you get to preach the Word of God. But when you do it with friends, it's even more of a blessing. And this church and your pastors have been a tremendous blessing to my family, and I want to thank them publicly as well as to encourage the church. Love your pastor. You got good ones, and stand behind them. But let's, I'm aware of the fact that everybody's tired and probably you would go to sleep if I was preaching anyway, but you'll really go to sleep tonight, so I will try to keep it under 2 hours, and then we'll be home. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalms chapter 84. On the more serious note, I just want to be an encouragement to you tonight, and we'll try to get some encouragement from the Word of God, because that's where it comes from. Psalms chapter 84, beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Who passing through the valley of Baca, you know, when you come from Alabama, you do not pronounce words like that normally. So if you know the proper pronunciation, tell it to yourself all night. Make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is sun and a shield, and the Lord giveth grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." I want to take that last part of verse number 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." And with the help of God tonight, I want us to preach on this thought, the blessing of trust. The blessing of trust. Dear Lord, thank you so much again for the privilege of being here tonight, Lord, and to open your perfect, precious word. And Lord, to preach the message that you put on my heart, I pray. Lord, that it'll fall on open and receptive ears, that folks can be encouraged and strengthened. And Lord, if there is somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that even tonight the Holy Spirit can plant that gospel seed that maybe it won't be reaped tonight, but maybe in the future they can begin to grow, and the Holy Spirit can begin to water that thing. And Lord, help them to realize to die without you is to spend eternity in a Christless hell. We thank you for your love and mercy. And again, Lord, we just ask you to encourage us, help us here tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Again, the Bible says here in Psalms chapter 84, verse number 12, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." You know, trust is an important thing. You have a wife, you want your wife to be able to trust you, right? That means you're going to live in a way she can trust you. You know, be sure your sins will find you out. You may fool somebody part of the time, but you're not going to fool everybody all the time. It's just not going to work out. And so it's all going to come out. So the way to get trust is to be the person you're supposed to be. You want your kids to trust you as parents? Then be the kind of daddy and mommy God wants you to be. You want your pastor to trust you and working in the ministries here of the church? Then be the kind of church member that God wants you to be. Your pastors, they desire your trust as a church. That means they want to be the pastors God's given them to be. Trust is an important thing. You know, when we came in the building tonight, we trusted that the building would not fall in on us. Now, some of you may have worried when I stood behind the pulpit that maybe it would fall in, but God has been merciful and gracious, and it hadn't happened. But there are certain things you trust, right? You trust when you get in your car and you turn it that it's going to start. You know, I don't know, about a week and a half ago, I got in our van and turned it on, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm thinking, man, it's getting hot in here. What's going on? And I look down, and the air conditioner quit working. And so, you know, of course, I didn't think any bad things or anything. I had a pure heart through the whole thing and all that kind of thing. But then a few days later, the air conditioner just started working. And, you know, that's a blessing in Florida when the air conditioner works. And the kids, you know, they get excited about things like that. You know, we should get excited like kids do about the simple things, because the simple things are the things that God tells us that He loves us through. The big things are, you know, those are great and fine and wonderful and excited, but it's those times in between the big moments when God whispers to you that He loves you that really means something. And so there's something about trust that's very important. You know, I trust this book. You don't have to be around this place very long to understand this is not a pseudo King James place. We really believe this is the inspired, and we're not afraid of that word. It's not a cuss word. It's not a bad word. It's a God-given word, inspired Bible. You know, that's a good thing. We try. If this was not the Bible, or if the Bible was not the Word of God, the perfect Word of God, if He could not preserve it like He said He would, then we might as well close it up, take back all those pledges from the Restore-a-thon, and go out and live life up. Because you and I would have no idea what God's true Word is. But it is exactly what God said it is. So trust is an important thing. And so tonight, we just want to look through these few verses here of Psalms 84 and think about the blessing of trust. Beginning again with verse number 1, the Bible says, "How aimable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, and they will be still praising thee, Selah." You know, there's a trust in his tabernacle. Now, aren't you glad we're not in the Old Testament? I'm glad, because I'd have been stoned a long time ago for rebellion against my parents. I'm glad I'm not in Old Testament economy of things. I'm glad that that God has given us His Word, and we can look at it dispensationally and understand where we are and where things fit. That's a blessing. But you know, the tabernacle was a key part of worship and fellowshipping with God in the Old Testament. Now, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now the Holy Spirit of God doesn't just dwell in the holy place and with the Ark of the Covenant. The moment you trust Christ as Savior, He indwells you and He seals you and He keeps you until the day of redemption. And boy, what a day that's going to be. And if there's anything we ought to say whoopee about, it's talking about heaven and what we got for eternity. Man, that's a blessing. It's exciting to think about the tabernacle and what it means and what it stands for in the Old Testament and how central it was to the nation of Israel. But then when you think that God replaced that Old Testament tabernacle with our own bodies, and now He indwells us. What a privilege. What an exciting thing. But you know something? The tabernacle was also a place where the people of Israel would congregate from every tribe, and they would gather around there, and they would see what God had. And so in a sense, also, when the church gets together, that's like a tabernacle where you come together and hear from God's man for this place, and He gives you God's Word of encouragement and leads you down that spiritual path into that spiritual battlefield. It sure is a wonderful thing to know that we're serving the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there's nothing this world can do to stop you. You know, the devil's the prince and power of the air. He doesn't like things like the Restore-a-thon, because he doesn't want the gospel that's being preached through the radio and through the music to be sent around the world. He doesn't like that. But you know what? If you're standing for God and doing what's right, even though he's a God, small g, of this world, God is still on the throne of eternity, and he can still get it done when he wants to. Amen. His tabernacle. We can trust it. Now, there's a couple of things I wrote down here. And my wife likes to say that she writes my sermons, and you know, they'd probably sound a lot more intelligent if she did write them, but we'll just go on and see what it says here. First thing in verse number 1, the Bible says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles." They're lovely. You ever think about that? Just how lovely it is to fellowship with the Lord. You know, there are certain people that when you're around them and you're in their company, you almost take a deep breath and say, "Oh man, how long is this going to take? I got to come up with an excuse to get out of here, because as soon as I get in a conversation with them, they're going to tell me all their problems, and they're going to tell me how horrible their life is, or they're going to tell me how horrible my life is and tell me I messed up here and I messed up here and look what you did here. I remember when I was a teenager and I surrendered to God's call in my life to preach just before my junior year of high school in the summer there. And my pastor would give me all kinds of opportunities to preach in the church and in jails. And, you know, when you grow up in a big metropolis of Hartsville, Alabama, there's probably more people in the room here tonight than there was in the town. But maybe there may be a little bit more in the town. But he'd take me downtown Hartsville, Alabama. And he put me on a street corner, and he'd have a couple people sing a couple songs, and he'd say, "Preach." And I'd look around, there's nobody out there. I'm like, "Preacher, you want me to?" He said, "Just preach, just preach." And so I started preaching, and that's how I got my first taste of street preaching, that kind of thing. And you know, it was a couple years later that I ran into someone out of visitation there, and they said, "Hey, I think I know you." I said, "What are you talking about? Did you go down there and you were preaching on a street corner, a couple years ago?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I worked in one of those shops, and I was in there and had my window open, and this is what the guy said. He said, I had my son with me, and my son's not saved, and you preached the gospel. Now, I don't know if he's gotten saved or not, but he thanked me that his son heard the gospel. And I didn't understand what was going on, but God had me preach to someone I didn't even know was there." You know, it's a blessing when you see God's hand in things. It's an exciting thing. You know, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes the Christian life is hard. That's why God likens it to a war and likens us to soldiers. That's why he says sometimes you have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But you know what? There is a blessing of that fellowship and communion with the God of heaven. There's a blessing in his tabernacle. Not only that, there's a blessing of fellowship. Notice what the Bible says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." When's the last time you really longed for the Lord? Longed for that fellowship. "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praised," or "they will be still praising thee, Selah." When's the last time you really stopped to think about what the fellowship of Christian brothers and sisters means? You go out there in the world and you're working in the world and you're doing whatever it is that you're doing out there, hopefully nothing illegal. And you're hearing all the garbage, no matter how hard you don't want to hear it. You can't go into a grocery store without hearing a bunch of junk. You live in Florida. You know, about 11 months out of the year, you can't go anywhere in town without seeing half-naked people everywhere. I mean, it's a constant bombardment. You think about our children and the garbage that's being fed to them through our public school system. This is my opinion. You can disagree with my opinion all you want. But where the Bible's playing, better not disagree there. But in my opinion, I think the most dangerous thing in the United States of America is the national education assassination. They're warping the minds of our children, and they're trying to turn them from their parents. They're trying to turn them from God. They're trying to turn them from what it truly means to be an American. There's a blessing when God's people get together for fellowship. God made us social beings. Don't you think he realizes he made us social beings? He didn't, you know, when he formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, he didn't all of a sudden say, "Oh, you know what? I didn't mean to make them social beings and I made a mistake. I'm going to have to adjust that." He made us social beings because he wanted us to socialize with him and fellowship and worship and have a relationship with him. You know, if all we get out of church is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we are going to be weak, anemic Christians. There's a blessing in the fellowship of the tabernacle. Not only that, look beginning at verse number 5. Begin at verse number 5, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools, and they go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appeareth before God." There, we can trust his strength. See, there's a blessing of trust. It's a good thing to be able to trust. We can trust in his tabernacle and the fact that we are the tabernacle of God. We can trust in the fact he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can trust in the fact that nothing will separate us from the love of God. There's not a thing in this world. Look, God can't even take your salvation because he's a God of truth and he said it's eternal. That's a pretty secure deal. There's a blessing in that. There's a blessing of the fellowship of when God's people to get together. But there's also a blessing of trusting in his strength. Notice again what the Bible says here. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. You know, we need his strength. You know, as a parent, you try to make things simple. So your wife can, so your children can understand. She has to make it simple for me to understand the truth of it. But you try to make things simple. But you know what? God makes it simple for us. The Bible talks about the simplicity that's in Christ. If it's confusing, it's not God. God's not the author of confusion, the Bible says, right? And so often we confuse the Christian life and we make it so muddy and so difficult and you got to, you know, cross all these T's and dot all these I's and we're running around in circles making sure that we have everything whitewashed and have an image. No, just walk with God, be the person you're supposed to be, and by proxy, you're going to do what you're supposed to do. That's just the way it works. But there's a blessing of trusting in his strength. We need his strength. We don't think we do sometimes. Or let me change that. I can only speak for myself. Sometimes I don't think I need his strength. And then sometimes he's got to put you flat on your back where you're looking up saying, "Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to do whatever the next thing is that's going to come along unless I have you." And then you begin to realize, "Oh yeah, Lord, I needed you all along, didn't I?" Here's how we break it down to our kids. Watch, this is a deeply profound thing. I'm not a doctor, you know, so I'm not the highly educated folks, but this is a deeply profound thing. Now watch this. Is everybody watching? Is anybody not watching? Okay, ready? Watch. You and I can't do that without God. We need him. There's a trust in his strength. Look what the Bible says here. Look at verse number 6. "Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools." You ever been in a valley in life, in a desert oasis of where you're just driven to tears and weeping and you're looking around, you're thinking, "Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And Lord, I'm not going to survive this desert in life." And God says, "Hold on. You're looking at it wrong. Don't look at the problems. Don't look at the difficulties. Don't look at the circumstances surrounding your life. Look at that well of water that's springing up in you. Look at the God that can take care of you. Look to me," God says, "and trust me, and I'll give you those wells in those dry, desert, difficult places in life." Now, I'm preaching tonight, I'm going to try to be honest with you, okay? I may not be if you catch me somewhere else during the week, but I'm going to try to be honest with you tonight. Now, I think some folks understand this, but this is not the typical church. And I'm not talking about size. Size is, look, people talk about you got to be so big or, you know, God's hand's not on you. Well, then we need to close down and start following Joel Osteen. The only problem with that, I want my boys to grow up to be men, so I'm going to be careful with that. It's the Spirit. The fact that this is a place where you honor God and you lift the book and you preach the truth and let whatever happens, happens. If somebody doesn't like it and it's from the book, oh well. You say, but that's a millionaire. You can't offend them. You know, when Wall Street is shaky, God's not up on the throne doing this. God can tell you to go out. This would be a great thing for Baptist preachers, wouldn't it? Instead of restore-a-thon, let's all go fishing, and let's pray every fish we catch, God will have some gold in the mouth of that fish. He can take care of us. We forget, and sometimes, we got it here, but sometimes we forget to get it here so it'll bear out in our lives. We serve a miracle-working God. And the Bible still says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can trust his strength. He can take care of us even in those deserts of life. Then the Bible goes on to say, and I like this, they go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. God gives you what you need every time. His well does not run dry. Amen. You may be going through a deep, dark valley in life. It may be something spiritual. It may be something emotional. It may be something physical. It may be something psychological. It may be something somebody you love's going through, and you're going through that valley, and you're thinking, Lord, I need you to show yourself real. I need something to happen. And God shows up, and God gives you what you need. Man, that's an exciting thing. But it doesn't stop there. Because you know what? The Bible still says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to render you ineffective for the cause of Christ. And just because you got through one thing doesn't mean right around the corner, the devil doesn't have another thing right there for you. And you know what? Sometimes it may not even be the devil. Sometimes that you get tired and weary under the weight of just serving God, just the normal process of doing what's right. God says, cast all your care on me. I got this. I remember once when I was growing up, I know it's hard to believe, but I used to be a skinny guy. I was a little skinny run of a kid. And when I was real little, I was in the hospital a lot and sick and different things like that. And what it was I was eating too many vegetables. I figured that out, so now I just eat meat and potatoes and I'm fine. But I had kids that would pick on me. Any of you bullies, if you've been a bully in your life, we need to take a couple guys out there and smack you around a little bit, just for old time's sake. But anyway, I'd have these people that pick on me. And I remember this one time we were in the locker room, and I was in a Christian school. And just because your kids are in a Christian school doesn't mean you don't need to watch who their friends are. Let me just put a little parenthesis there. I used to be one in the Christian school, and I wouldn't have wanted my kids to hang around me at one point in my life. Okay, in parentheses, get back to the message. But we were in the locker room, and these older kids were picking on me. And they were trying to get me to do some stuff that was just stupid, stuff that you could really get hurt with. But they were bigger kids, and I was afraid to tell them no. Well, they're the biggest, toughest guy in school was a little teddy bear. He loved kids, and he was just like a big brother to me. And he came in, and these guys were picking on me and trying to get me to do some things that would harm me. And this guy's name was Bobby Laughing House. And I'm just a man's man kind of a guy, And he came in and he grabs two of these guys and puts them against the wall in the locker room. And he tells you, leave Larry alone. And if you bother him again, you're going to answer to me. You know what I did? I was the meek and quiet. Now I was getting cocky then. I was getting arrogant. It's like, yeah, what you going to do? Then he starts to leave. I'm like, yeah, come get me. Come on. I'm just trying to stay close to him. You know what? God can take care of us. And he'll give us the strength we need over here. And then when you get to the next battle, he'll give you the strength you need for that. And then when you get to the next valley, he'll give you the strength you need for that. And then when you have the next heartache, he'll give you the strength you need to deal with that. And when you see people you love struggling, he'll give you the strength to deal with that and be a help and a blessing to them. From strength to strength. And you know what? It'll keep going until God runs out of strength. And excuse me, all the English professors here, that ain't going to happen. It's eternal. Not only that, and we're almost done. I promise I don't want to keep you long. Just want to be an encouragement to you tonight. But let's look beginning at verse number 8. The last thing we can trust in his tabernacle. His loveliness is indescribable, and there's an importance of fellowship with him and with the brethren. We can trust in his strength. We need his strength. He gives us strength in the valley of Baca's of life, and he gives us strength to strength. Everything we need, every time we need it, he never runs out. Look, beginning at verse number 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. We can trust his provision. He'll take care of us. We can trust his provision. He hears our prayers. Isn't that an exciting thing? You know, you ever try to talk to someone and it's like they're dodging you? You know, someone, you ever dodge somebody? You say, oh, I owe them money. I'm not going to answer that call, or I'm going to go this way. God doesn't dodge us. Isn't that, you ever just stop and think about that for a moment? The Bible says, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and the veil was rent from top to bottom, we have access to God. The Bible says, not this preacher or any other preacher, but the perfect word of God says that we can boldly enter the throne room of grace to find grace to help in time of need. We have access to God. Man, that's exciting. You know, I remember the first time that I saw my wife. It was the happiest day of her life. But first time I saw my wife, she was working in work scholarship in the admissions office, and my mom worked in the admissions office, and I would come down between classes and try to con my mom into taking me out to lunch before I had to go to work. And I walked in there, and she was in the little back office doing something. I was smoking or something, I'm not for sure. But she came out to the front office and said something to my mother and got some papers and went back in there. She's wearing this brown and white polka-dotted dress. And the first thing that went through my mind was my brain kind of went like this. It's like, wow, she's pretty. Then I had to go figure out how I'm going to con her into, you know, dating me or something like that. But I asked Mom, who is that? And she told me who she was. And then we ended up meeting each other, and, you know, it all went down. No, it's been a blessing since then. But I remember that first time I saw her, I thought, man, she's beautiful. I sure would like to get to know her. I sure would like to find out if she would make a good preacher's wife. If not, I was thinking about changing and maybe becoming a car salesman or something like that. No. But I thought, man, she's beautiful. Then, you know, you get to think, you know, she's probably not going to want anything to do with someone like me. I wouldn't want anything to do with someone like me. But then you start talking. The first time, my mom kind of worked it all out. She's a little schemer. And she asked, because it was school had just started, and she asked if I would show her where this certain office was, and she had to take a box of things there. So, you know, I was going to be chivalrous, and I carried the box for her, and I'm trying to, you know, sweating and trying to work up a conversation here, and I'm walking with the box, you know, being all suave, and I'm tripping over my own feet. You know, it was a real smooth thing. But she laughed, and you know, the rest is history. But when we first had a real conversation, it was later that night, and we I don't know, it was probably around 7-8 o'clock we started talking, and then they had lights out at 10:30, so you had to go back to the dorms at 10 o'clock. And so I'm walking her back to the dorm, and in that 3 hours or so that we talked, I think I may have said 5 words, which is good because you would not believe this. You say, I think he never shuts up, but I really don't talk a whole lot, and she does, so it worked out good. And so we're walking back to the room, and you know what? It was like, man, this is great. And ever since then, it was all over. You know, it was a done deal. We were together, and then, you know, 10 months later, we were married, and, you know, this July, it'll be 15 years, and 6 kids, one in heaven, and 5 heathens over here with us, and God's been good to us. But you know what? That first conversation we had, man, that was just such a big deal. Why? Because we communicated. She told me some things about her and told me some more things about her and told me some more things about her. And then I sneak something in there about me, and then she would tell me some more about her. That meant something, though. Why? Because I was interested in her. I wanted to get to know her. We have access to God. Man, it's a wonderful thing to know and be able to talk to people that you admire and respect. It's a wonderful thing to have a pastor that you can call on when you're in need and you know your pastor's going to do everything he can to be there for you. That's a wonderful thing. But hold on. We have limitations. God doesn't. And we have access to God. We can pray. We can trust his provision because we have access to him. Not only that, the Bible says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. He's our protector. That's a big deal. We like to think that we could take on anybody in the world, us men, right? Think, 100 guys over there, I could take them. Don't look at me. What you looking at? We think that, and here we don't say that because we're not that stupid, but in our minds, Superman's about our life. I mean, we're the greatest, the smartest, the strongest, the fastest, but you know what? It doesn't matter. You can be the toughest guy in this room, but I guarantee you there's somebody in this town that can whoop you. And a little place called AI taught us a great lesson. Doesn't matter how big and bad you are, God can take the littlest, frailest thing and whoop you with it. Right? He's our protector. We get nervous, and we ought to stand and we ought to do everything we can to keep America on the right path, but America's on the wrong path. And if they outlaw preaching that Bible next week, you ought to get in this pulpit and preach the Bible. You ought to sit in the pews and shout amen to your preacher and stand arm to arm, because you know what? God is our shield. Doesn't mean everything's going to go our way. Doesn't mean there may not be difficulties and sufferings and heartache and struggle. You know, you listen to the Blinking Bandit. That's what I call Joel Osteen. Anybody that blinks that many times when he talks, you got to be suspect of him. But you know, you listen to people like that and you think, man, if I just turn my life over to Jesus, I'm going to have no more problems in this world. Drinking some fruity drinks is what's happening. Tell that to John as he's being boiled in oil. Tell that to Paul as he's spending a night and a day out there in the deep because he's been shipwrecked. Has a viper attached to his arm when he's being beaten with whips and beaten with rods. Tell that to Stephen. As he's standing boldly for Jesus and they're stoning him, they're so angry with him, they rush him and gnash on him with their teeth. God didn't say it's all going to be smooth sailing, there's not going to be problems, but he did say that he'll give you what you need, that strength to strength in that moment of heartache and struggle and standing for Jesus. If you do it right, God will show up and give you a personification of himself that you never imagined, and you think, man, I wouldn't choose to be in this place, but for what God has showed himself through this situation, I'm glad I'm here. He's our shield. He'll take care of us. He's our protector. Besides, remember, you ever get irritated at some of the heathens in this world that have seemingly everything in life? You know, I mean, the mansions, the jets all over the world, the, you know, any kind of car or truck you can imagine. You know, they don't go into the grocery store and figure out, okay, well, I got to put this back because I don't know, don't have enough for that. I mean, they send people to shop for them. My mom told me this years ago. I hope I never forget it. She told me once, because I was complaining about that, you know, we're selfish. I can admit that, I'm selfish. And I was talking, man, this is ridiculous. You see all these people, they're getting everything in life and they're lying and scheming and stealing. And she said, Larry, just remember this. That's all they got. Without Jesus, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And we got heaven. Kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? We can trust his provision. He's our shield. He hears our prayers. And when you really look at it, the world has nothing to offer compared to him. Look in verse number 10 again. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000, and I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. What did Jesus come as? The Lion of the tribe of Judah? Or the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? We're excited about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, aren't we? Man, that's going to be a wonderful day when he sets everything straight. I want a front row seat when Satan gets his due. That's going to be an exciting thing. I might give a whoopee right there. We've got a good as Christians. There's nothing in this world that's worth compromising the truth of God's word. There's nothing in this world that's worth taking a hold of and letting loose of God. Too often we try to hold both things together. God says that makes him sick. We can trust his provision. Not only that, one more thing, and then we'll be through. Verse number 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold. There are some things in Scripture that are unconditional. The love of Christ is unconditional. But there are some things that are conditional. The blessings of God on your life are conditional. Will he withhold from them that walk uprightly? See, there's a blessing in trusting God. I mean, that's just it's a simple truth, but so profound when you really think about it. There's a blessing to trusting God. But don't think that we can go out there and live like the devil and think God's going to bless us. He won't withhold anything good from them that walk uprightly. We've got a God that we can trust. He showed himself real over these last 3 days just through the Restore-a-thon, didn't he? And if he can do that with as crazy as some of you guys got, he can work in any circumstance. We've got it good. And when the devil's in your ear and your flesh is welling up and the world's telling you we're having a great time, just remember that's all temporary. We got heaven waiting for us. And we can trust him. The blessing of trust.